Logic Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host. We are here week two, Tuesday, lineup logic. Listeners, you guys are coming on strong. We continue to grow the pod. I'm so grateful to you guys who are tuning in regularly and, you know, checking in on the podcast, enjoying it, you know, keep coming back. If you're listening on a regular basis, reach out. You know, I'd like to thank you personally. I'm not kidding. I appreciate you a lot. It really makes this easy, you know, keep working, keep going, to know people are enjoying and listening. Follow us, please, on SoundCloud. Follow me on Twitter at Hey Mr. Kane. Subscribe to us on Stitcher and iTunes. If you like the show, retweet, comment, share. If you do, I'm going to be eternally grateful. We'll throw you a shout out on the show. I'm happy to discuss lineups, you know, ideas for lineup construction. Please come find me. It is Tuesday, January 17th, coming off a massive nine-game all-day slate yesterday and some crazy games yesterday, some really good ones and some really bad ones. Nights like last night, Cavs Warriors. It just makes me glad that the internet exists. It makes me glad that Twitter exists. Political Twitter is terrifying and dismaying and so hard to watch. But the reactions to the Cavs Warriors game were priceless. There was amazing memes and jokes all over the place. If you didn't see the LeBron Simba meme, please go to my Twitter page and take a look. It was absolutely hilarious. Anyhow, next hour, we are going to preview the night to come in NBA, spreads, injury news, and then a breakdown of players to target on the five-game slate upcoming. Before we do that, let's recap yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. All right, so we rolled out two lineups on the podcast, a all-day slate and then a main slate. I also put one out on Twitter attached to the pod that was an early only. And early only cashed with 288. It was Rodriguez, Lillard, Giannis, Hardaway, Gordon, Covington, Millsap, Jokic, and Gortat. Weakest points in the lineup were certainly Aaron Gordon and Gortat. Gortat's just trending down, and the Wizards simply don't need him, and they just need him as a rim protector. So if you look at his offensive role, it's really like their backcourt just plays so well. And that was a blowout, you know, but their backcourt plays so well that they really don't play that much in the half court. They're playing a pretty strong transition game, and Gortat's really only useful on the glass and the pick and roll. Aaron Gordon, Aaron Gordon, it was chasey. He's getting the minutes, you know, and you like the production, but the reality is that he isn't just a pure scorer. You know, you don't look to Aaron Gordon for his offense. So he was owned massive 60% and on the all day slate, because he was just a well priced option at small forward. But he was chasey. It's just not a good situation for him, and he just doesn't really have, you know, you don't need to go after those points. On the all day lineup, that was the early 288. The all day lineup, 266. Not bad. Matt cashed as well. We were at George Hill, Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, JJ Redick, Aaron Gordon, Gordon Hayward, Jokic, Cantor, and Miles Turner. You know, would have been in a lot better situation if Chris Paul doesn't leave in the first half with that thumb injury. Chris Paul basically, you know, hit 2x because of the thumb. So, you know, nice to see that JJ Redick got to pick up some of that usage in that situation. You know, glad that I owned another share of the Clippers backcourt, because if I was relying on Paul to get across the money line at that point, we wouldn't have gotten there. Cantor, another chasey play. Just not a sharp play. Like, Cantor crushed three nights in a row and didn't have a perfect situation against the Clippers front court. DeAndre's a good defender. You know, you could have pegged that Cantor wasn't going to be in the same situation he had been in the last couple games. But he had 20 points, so he did okay for us at about 3x. And again, Aaron Gordon, we had him in there, but we already talked about that. Main slate, barely crossed the line at 240. Just got over, but money line was insanely low. It was insanely low. Probably mostly because of the Cavs-Warriors blowout, you know. Between Love and Kyrie being owned, you know, in the 30% basically in cash games, you know, people were dead. If you owned Love, LeBron, or Kyrie, and some people, you know, owned two of those guys. So main slate lineup was again, George Hill, Chris Paul, Clay, and JJ. And then we had Durant, which was nice. You know, we talked about Durant versus LeBron, and my thought was, at home, if there's somebody who's going to be able to take over a game, you know, versus Kevin Durant versus LeBron in Oracle, it's going to be Kevin Durant. You know, it was actually Steph who took over that game for the most part, which Steph would have been a great play at 8,900. We went with Chris Paul. Okay. Hayward favors Cantor and Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson, you know, the thing about this lineup is it was poorly constructed because it was constructed on the fly. You know, there's nothing worse than constructing a lineup and just chasing, you know, just not paying close attention to what you're doing and questioning every single play that you're going to make. Like, why does this selection suck? Why does this selection suck? You know, we got lucky. The money lines were low. So that's the question you kind of have to ask about yourself tonight on this slate. Why does this play suck? So let's go ahead and let's look at tonight. All right, five-game slate. We are starting out with Raptors at Nets. Toronto going down to Brooklyn, 226 total in this one, but no surprise. And Raptors are favored by 11.5. This is a repeat of what we saw last week. You know, I don't know. It's kind of a scary game to play. Injury news in this one, the only injuries that we have to be worried about are Jeremy Lin. Brook Lopez should be back coming off of rest. Patrick Patterson on the Raptors side of the ball, who's been sitting with a sore knee, which has opened up some value with Lucas Nogueira. We haven't heard anything about Patrick Patterson. So good game to target, but do have to worry about the blowout effect there. Then we've got Houston at Miami, 221 total. Houston, no surprise, favored by 7.5, even on the road. Clint Capella has returned to the lineup for the Rockets, and apparently is going to get the start. So interesting. I don't think I trust him just yet, coming off the broken leg. You know, you want to see how his minutes look and how he is. I also don't know how they're going to shake out the situation with Harrell. You know, in my mind, Harrell has earned some minutes in that rotation because he's just played so well. On the opposite side of the ball, Josh Richardson is the biggest news there. He's going to be out for about another 2 weeks with the foot. Then we've got Dallas at Chicago, 196 total in this one. Chicago's favored by 5. Mavericks are, you know, just so slow, so defensively minded. They got this one of the lowest totals on the night. I think it is the lowest total on the night, excuse me. And interestingly enough, we may not know this. Bulls are actually, like, I think 1 or 2 in the league in points allowed against. They are really good right now. They're only allowing about 95 points per game. So should be a low scoring affair. Bulls coming off the win against Memphis, playing well. On the Dallas side of the ball, Andrew Bogut is out. And on the Chicago side, you've got Mirotić likely out as well. Dwayne Wade, Probably coming back after he has gotten some rest. So keep an eye on that. Just always make sure that, you know, Wade is not resting. Minnesota at San Antonio, 201 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 11 at home. No serious injury news to be worried about in this one. You should have LaMarcus Aldridge coming back, you know, off the rest. And, you know, very hard game to predict. Minnesota, you know, not nearly as good as San Antonio, but you know, you kind of wonder if maybe they can keep up with them. I don't know. Anyway, last game of the night, Denver at LA, 230, massive total in this one. Lakers are favored by 2. Should be a pretty competitive game as long as the Lakers shoot well. Only serious injury news in this one is Darrell Arthur continues to be out. Darrell Arthur and Gary Harris out on the Denver side of the ball, which opens up some value for guys like Kenneth Faried and Will Barton. So keep an eye on that. And on the Lakers side, Jordan Clarkson, game time decision. I think he has an ankle. Doesn't really matter. He's definitely in the backup role to D'Angelo Russell. So nothing to be concerned about with injuries there. So that's the slate for tonight. Let's take a look at the top tier of players to figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, so breaking down the lock and load top tier players on the slate. You know, with five games, you kind of have some obvious top price players. So let's start at point guard. At point guard, it is Kyle Lowry. He's 9,000 at Brooklyn. You know, we broke this situation down not long ago. Brooklyn, worst in the league against the point guard. Lowry has, you know, massive minutes, massive usage for the Raptors, playing extremely well. I think, you know, the real concern is the blowout factor. Lowry's averaging 43 FanDuel points in the last five games. You know, he's averaged the same number against Brooklyn. One game this year, he exceeded 45. And then, you know, last game he had about, if I remember correctly, 36. The salary, it's an up salary for Lowry, considering where he's been throughout the year. You know, you do worry about the blowout, but Lowry is definitely the best point guard in the best situation on the slate. So you could do worse. I don't hate Lowry at this price, and I think 40 is a pretty safe number for him, and spending 9K doesn't really make me as worried as, say, spending 12-3 for the top price shooting guard on the slate, the beard, Mr. Harden, going to Miami. I mean, the price is just so high. In the matchup, you know, this is a ceiling price for Harden, basically, right? Harden, at this price, he's got to get 61 FD points for you to hit value. Houston favored by 7.5 on the road. Miami not really great right now. Better defensively than they are offensively. Just not really a very good team, you know. And Harden is projected in most of the sites, most of the projection sites, he's looking at 48 or 50 FD points, which is basically 4x. If you're okay with that, or you trust this Miami to keep the game close, then I think Harden is in play for you. You know, personally, I just don't think this Miami offense is going to be able to keep up. You know, as much as they are decent in DVP in certain spots on the floor, you know, they're okay against forwards, for example. They're okay against guards as far as points are allowed. They allow a ton of rebounds and assists to the guard. And, you know, we've seen the way Houston can score. They could just put up so many points, especially from the three-point range. So I just don't think Miami keeps up. I think this game could get out of hand. You know, And Harden in that case just doesn't have to hit his ceiling. You would target, if you would, what you're looking to do in that situation is target the peripheral players around him, because a good matchup is going to benefit the whole team. So it's up to you on Harden. I think, you know, he's definitely a GPP play. He always is. So if you think Miami can keep it competitive for three quarters, then go with the Beard. All right, similar situation at small forward. Our two highest priced small forwards tonight are Kawhi and Jimmy. Kawhi is 8'8". He's got Minnesota. Jimmy, 9'5". He's got Dallas. We've already talked a little bit about these games. Minnesota is 6th in the league against the small forward. That's not great. Definitely not a good situation. Not to mention that the Spurs are such heavy favorites. And we just know you have to get Kawhi more than 32 minutes for him to hit value or hit ceiling. And there's a very, very strong likelihood that Kawhi only gets 30 minutes here. You know, last year, Kawhi got 30 minutes in three games against the Wolves. He averaged 30 minutes, which is basically, and then, he averaged 30 minutes, 17-7-2, basically 29 FD points. You know, this is one of those median opportunities for Kawhi. I just don't see it really. And Jimmy is very similar. You know, Jimmy's going to be matched up with Harrison Barnes all night. Dallas is 5th against the small forward this year. They're one of the slowest paced teams in the league. Jimmy at 9'5", you're looking for him to hit 47, 48 FD points. You don't see it. You don't necessarily see, you know, you see Jimmy in a better situation to get more minutes because I think that game is more competitive and so does Vegas. But I just don't see takeover potential against Harrison Barnes. You know, I think there's going to be more even distributive scoring and just lower scoring in that game. At power forward, it's Nikola Jokic at 8'5". Love me some Jokic. And so pumped that yesterday we got off of Love and on Jokic. Jokic exploded yesterday, 54 FD points at a salary of 8K. He has the Lakers, and truth is, the secret is out. Everybody who played yesterday's slate, you know, saw lineups with Jokic in it and go, oh my God. He actually, I think, might have been the top scorer on the day because it wasn't Anthony Davis and it wasn't LeBron. So Jokic had a killer day yesterday. You know, and we know what the Lakers situation is against the front court. Randall and Mozgov, some of the league's worst against power forward and center. Jokic is getting 30 minutes a game and just destroying people with his efficiency. You know, the price jump, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. There were times when Jokic was in like the 6K range. It's just crazy to me. But he's averaging 42 FD points in the last five games, so it's very, very possible for him to, you know, hit that average again. Like I said, the Lakers allow 48 points to the power forward on the season and then 53 to the center. So Jokic, again, he's in that 4-5 flex. He plays kind of in both. He's probably the best high-priced option on the slate. You know, the one that you feel most comfortable with, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, love Jokic at 8'5 against the Lakers. At center, it's the same as small forward, really. I mean, you know, it's a similar situation. And even in shooting guard, right? Small forward, center, and shooting guard, you have two top-tier studs. And we didn't talk about DeMar DeRozan at shooting guard. But I just don't think you can play DeRozan at 9'4". Anyway, at center you have the two highest priced options are Towns and Whiteside. Towns at 9'4" is just a no-no. Spurs are actually the best. They're number one against the center in the league. You know, you don't like Towns in a bad defensive matchup. You know, look at his game, his last game against Dallas. Dallas is an excellent defensive team. You know, pace down. Spurs are the same profile. You know, Towns only scored 34 FD points when he had a salary of 10-1. He's too expensive at 9-4. You know, if you're going to spend 9-4, spend it on DeRozan. He's in a better situation. You know, you worry about blowout, but at least you know DeRozan isn't going to be limited by high-quality defense. And then Whiteside, 8'9". He's so inconsistent. It's so scary to play Whiteside, to be honest. But the Rockets are 13th in DVP, okay, against the center. He seems, and this is the eye test, so this isn't as, I don't have the statistical proof to back this up. He seems to get up for bigger games, bigger matchups, a la the Golden State game when he had 20 rebounds. You know, I think Whiteside probably is a, like a lot of players, you know, knows the matchup. He's playing against the league's best. He wants to play well. He wants to be considered one of the best. So he's frustrating. He only exceeded value 42% of the time this season. The salary is up to 89. I don't mind him because I think that 40 points is realistic for him. I think 40 points is realistic, but I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's hard to spend money on this slate, as we'll talk about in a little bit. All right, fantasy grout, mid-price players. Mid-price players to fill in the 5 to 8K range. At point guard, it is D'Angelo Russell at 6K. He's got Denver. We've talked a lot about Denver. We all know Denver, you know, second to last DVP, 29th in DVP versus the point guard, allowing some of the most points in the league. You know, it's 52 points to the point guard. Russell's projected for a solid 30 minutes. He's been getting the minutes. He's got a nice 16-point floor. You know, upside of almost near 40 points, ceiling opportunity. For me, it profiles very similarly to George Hill last night. George Hill at 6'1". You know, not a world beater, but a very consistent role, a scorer, a guy who's not afraid to score, a guy who the team is going to give minutes and usage to. So I think D'Angelo Russell is very reliable in this situation in a high-scoring game. Shooting guard, it's Eric Gordon at 5'8 against Miami. Miami is, like I said, giving it up to the backcourt. They're not giving up the points, you know, the actual buckets, but they are giving up a ton of assists and a ton of rebounds to the guard position. So you like Gordon to hit value with this one. He's priced at 5'8". He only needs 30 points, and he's getting 30 minutes a game. One of the trends that I've been watching here recently that applies to Gordon is in these plus matchups where you have a very clear favorite, okay, a la Toronto, Brooklyn, Houston, Brooklyn, you know, yesterday's game, Atlanta versus the Knicks, you know, which should have probably been more one-sided than it actually was. The point is this, they do favor the studs, okay? Obviously, the studs are in good situations. But what they really end up favoring is the players around those studs, okay? Yesterday, Hawks, Knicks, you had Hardaway go for 30. Cephalosha hits value. Bazemore gets some points. You know, in the Brooklyn-Houston game last week, you had Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza explode. And James Harden was fine. You know, it's a better situation for the mid-tier secure role players because of salary. The situation is going to benefit a lot of players on the roster. So you can just target the more mid-priced players in order to avoid, you know, avoid missing value with a guy like Harden, which is going to cost you 12 points or more if he doesn't go for 60 FD points. So Gordon only needs 30. You like Gordon at that salary. At small forward, there's a couple options in the mid-tier. You know, there is Wiggins. Wiggins priced down, which is nice, but terrible matchup with Dallas. Terrible matchup with San Antonio. He's getting a Kawhi defense. Then there is also Harrison Barnes, priced up a little bit more, you know, going up against Jimmy. Should be a competitive game, but I just don't know in Barnes' situation that he necessarily has to do as much as he was doing earlier in the season because of the return of Dirk. You know, with Dirk's additional scoring, Barnes gets to kind of settle back into the role of, you know, two-way player and concentrate on defense. And he's going to have to concentrate on defense against Jimmy. So my favorite option in that mid-price range is Wilson Chandler. He's 5'8". He's at L.A. He's getting the Lakers, who are 28th in the league against the small forward. So it's a great matchup for a guy in Chandler who's getting 28, 30 minutes. The interesting thing about Chandler is the bump in usage in minutes without Gary Harris. Without Gary Harris, he's getting the biggest minutes bump behind Jameer Nelson, but he also has the highest usage rate on the Nuggets. So, you know, you open up that roster spot and you open up that 25 to 30 minutes that Harris was getting, you know, and obviously it opens up things, you know, in a major way for Will Barton, but Wilson Chandler's the second beneficiary there. So you similar price to Gordon, exact same price as Eric Gordon. You like him to hit value tonight in a good situation. At power forward, there's so many options in this mid-tier. There's Dirk at 5'7", LaMarcus Aldridge at 7'1", James Johnson at 5'9". You kind of like them all. And it's hard, you know, I think winning lineups will have some combination of you know, higher priced guys, excuse me, well priced small forwards or power forwards tonight. There's value there and there is good plays there. The one though that is two of my favorites, I think, of all of them. I don't like LaMarcus Aldridge just because, again, you know, possible blowout situation. You know, and Aldridge gets his minutes limited. It very, very much the same as Kawhi. So I think LaMarcus is kind of, you know, touch and go, especially because he's also the highest priced, the highest priced one. James Johnson, you know, good price, great price at 5'9", you know, not a perfect matchup. You could spend 5'7" and you could get Dirk, who's trending up big time. You know, Dirk is getting 25 to 30 minutes. He profiles very similar to me as Zach Randolph last game against the Bulls. You know, veteran power forward who is a score first guy who's going to put up a lot of shots. You know, and Zach Randolph scored 30 FD points. So I think Dirk is a good option to score 30 FD points. But I think, honestly, my favorite is a bit of a regression candidate, and it's Julius Randle. At 6'2", Julius Randle's price last week got as high, I think, as 7'4". You know, he's had some really bad games, and I think he's just a regression candidate, honestly. You know, he's averaging, you know, 30 FD points on the season, and he is the most secure minutes in LA. He is the most secure usage. He's their main rebounder. They need his size on the floor against Denver, who's a bigger team. So you see him staying out there. You know, Vegas thinks this game is going to stay competitive. It's going to stay close. And Randall's going to have to play. You look at the power forward position against Denver, and you're saying, well, wait, they have so much size. Isn't that a bad situation for Randle? They're actually 18th against the power forward. So Randle's a good candidate there. At center, it's Jonas Valanciunas at 6K. Chalk, 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 chalk. You know, great chalk. Valanciunas is great chalk. He gets 25 minutes. He is, you know, a great rebounder. He's got a great matchup with Lopez. You know, he's averaged 30 FD points against the Nets this season. He's averaging a double-double, 12 and 12. So you feel good about Valanciunas. You know, center is rough. So Valanciunas is going to be super-duper chalky. I see him owned probably at 60% would be my guess. So if you want to get off of him, I don't mind that, just to kind of create some variance in your lineup and see if you can change things up. At bargain basement, sub 4.5, sub 5 value here. Point guard, it is Emmanuel Mudiay, interestingly enough. LA really not very good against the point guard. Plus matchup. The thing about Mudiay is just so darn inconsistent. I mean, dude literally could be held to like not scoring. He loses some minutes to Jameer Nelson, you know, and his usage is down, I think, recently because of the introduction of Jokic and kind of these interesting lineups that the Nuggets will roll out. The Nuggets will roll out like Nurkic, Jokic, Chandler, and Gallo, you know, which is like this massive, massive lineup where you have all of these huge guys who almost play the exact same position. But the reality is they're all really pretty solid players. They're some of the best players on the Nuggets. So Mudiay just doesn't really have to do much for the Nuggets to succeed. So you like the matchup, you don't like his, you know, role. At shooting guard, Nick Young and Lou Williams on the Lakers, Denver, and Denver's not great against the shooting guard. Nick Young's 3-7 coming off the bench. Lou Williams, you know, they're basically splitting minutes, but they're 3-point shooters, they're streaky, it's inconsistent. So you know, you can play one in a pinch. I don't mind it. You know, Williams has an insane 30% usage rate, but like you look at his game logs and his minutes floor is like 14 minutes. He could literally only play 14 minutes if Nick Young starts playing well and he plays badly. That's risky for cash games. You know, Lou Williams is a I think a GPP candidate. So you pivot over to the other side of the ball, and it's Will Barton. Gary Harris likely out with the groin. He aggravated the groin, and we didn't talk about this, but like at the last minute in a lot of my, you know, late change on the all day slate, we were on Gary Harris and we got off Gary Harris to get to Tim Hardaway, who we had spoken about, but Hardaway got bumped into the starting lineup when Dwight was out. So that was a huge, huge, huge moment, huge thing for us. Gary Harris left in the first quarter and, you know, Hardaway put up 30. He put up almost 6X. So that was great. So I like Will Barton anyway. Sorry, Will Barton at 4-7. He's going to get more minutes with Harris out. You know, and the price is fine. So good matchup, good price. You like Barton. Small forward. I guess you could start with Bojan Bogdanovic. We've talked about Bogdanovic before. He scored 26 against the Raptors last game, and he completely disappeared. You don't have to play him, I think. You know, in that same price point, you have Damari Carroll and Terrence Ross. Carroll's price is up to 46, but he's been playing great lately. He's healthy, so he's getting like a full 30 minutes. He's shooting the ball a ton, you know, and he just nails threes. Ross is coming off the bench for Carroll, so 20 minutes, he's a punt play for sure. But if you really want to build a nice, you know, if you want to build a GPP lineup full of really expensive players tonight, Ross is cheap. He's cheap. Power forward, it's Taj Gibson and Gorgui Jang, both at 5-1. They're priced well for their roles, honestly. Their minutes, their production is very similar. They profile very similarly, you know, 28 to 32 minutes every single game. But neither of them are in good matchups tonight. You know, if you want to go down to Fareed. Kenneth Fareed at 43. He got 30 minutes yesterday against the Magic. Great price for a minutes bump, especially with Harris out of the lineup and Darrell Arthur out. You should see some minutes for Fareed. And he's been producing. So he had 25-2 yesterday. Don't chase it because he's probably not going to put up the same line, but he's going to get some playing time. That's for sure. At center, we were on Montrezl Harrell and Nene because you want to pick on Miami center situation, but Capella's back. So and he says he's not going to be limited. I don't know if he'll be limited or if he'll have, you know, how comfortable he'll be. And like I said, I think Harrell will probably still get some minutes, but scares me off. I did that rotation at center. I just don't know what's going to happen. The other really cheap option is Lucas Nogueira. If Patrick Patterson continues to be out, he's playing the four. He's getting about 30 minutes a game. He had 30 FD points against the Nets last time they played, but he's also disappeared in a couple of those games. So he's pretty inconsistent. Nogueira is. But you got to keep your eye on the Patrick Patterson news, which I all know we are just desperately, desperately waiting for to hear what the heck is going on with Pat. Anyway, all right, let's move over to lineup lock again. This is a cash core to build from. I say this every time. This is a cash core to build from, right? Late changes will change things. Personal preference will change things. You should pivot in order to practice. If you look at my lineup and you say, Sean, this lineup sucks, good. I want you to say that because you want to be able to figure out where you see holes, where you see flaws, what you don't like about a lineup. And I think that's a really, really good habit to get into as a DFS player. Sit down and look at why you hate a lineup and find a player that you prefer. But this is a good cash core based on players that we talked about tonight. Okay, so we have at point guard, Kyle Lowry and D'Angelo Russell. Shooting guard, it's Eric Gordon and Will Barton. Small forward, it's Wilson Chandler and Damari Carroll. Power forward, it's Nikola Jokic and Julius Randle. And at center, Hassan Whiteside. Now, Whiteside is definitely by far the most controversial pick there. But let me walk you through what our other options were at this price. So we have basically four different choices kind of in this price range. We have Kawhi at 8-8. We have Hassan at 8-9. You have DeRozan at 9-4 and Jimmy at 9-5. I think you have to look at Whiteside not only because he's priced well, but like if you think about the pricing here and you think about the minutes and the role and the DVP situation, you think, okay, I think he's the safest bet to hit 40. Obviously, DeRozan is a really, really good play. I just don't necessarily want to have Lowry and DeRozan in the same lineup because I think that they kind of could cannibalize each other. In a situation where neither of, you know, both of them don't need to go off. Brooklyn just isn't that good. And I think Lowry is a better option given the value that's at shooting guard. So it's Whiteside. I'm not happy about it. I'm not thrilled about it. But I'm not going to play a ton of money on a five-game slate. And so I'm okay with throwing this lineup out there and just kind of, you know, taking it light as far as, you know, how much I'm going to spend. So that is it. I appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to find me on Twitter, again, my name, Hey Mr. Kane. Happy to answer questions. Please reach out, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Get the pod straight to your phone every day, right around lunchtime every day, guys, except for Mondays and Fridays. I'm going to try to get it out first thing in the morning. Anyway, good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you guys later.